You've been worshiping with us throughout this Lenten season, and if you have been around for some time around Woodbury Lutheran, you know that part of our tradition is that we have an opportunity to hear from each other during our Lenten services. We get to share, have someone share a testimony. I'm going to invite Julie Fromm. She's on her way up already. And Julie's going to come and share a little bit with us. What I love, and I think I tell you this every week, but I'm going to tell you again. What I love about testimonies is this. Well, several things. One, we get a little bit of a peek into someone's life. Come on up, Julie. And you know, the truth is this, that you don't really know somebody until you know somebody, right? And so we can bump into each other in the lobby and have coffee. But when we start to get to hear the stories of what has God has been doing in our lives, we start to come to a deeper awareness of one another. And that's a good thing. That's part of church, right? Is knowing each other, loving each other, caring for each other. So I love that. I love that I get to hear what's going on in your story and the way God is at work in your story, because that reminds me to pay attention for the way he's at work in my story too. And this has been kind of a new thought that has rolled around in my brain. I didn't come up with it, but it's been it was given to me in some of my classes. Part of what we get to recognize as well is not just God involved in my story, but maybe even better, even bigger, is that God has taken us and brought us into his story. He's made us a part of this big, grand story that he is working to redeem all of creation, to reconcile all things to himself. And we get to be a part of that. So we get to hear that from each other. And tonight we get to hear it from Julie a little bit. So everybody, say hi to Julie.
Hi.
Was that awkward?
That was weird.
You get used to it. Let's pray real quick together. Lord, tonight, as Julie shares with us the way that you've been at work in her life, we pray that you would, one, that you would calm any nerves that she has going on and allow her to speak this beautiful truth that she has to share with us. Allow her to speak that well. Lord, open our hearts to hear her words and to receive them. Open our eyes to see you at work in her life and in our own lives, and remind us, Lord, that you have brought us into your great story, this incredible story that we get to celebrate as your people. So bless Julie tonight and all of us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about you, Julie. Okay. What do you want to share?
Yeah, well, I have been coming to Wakota Ridge for a little over 2 years. I was invited by a friend of mine, Beth Hines. She heard I wasn't going to church, and she said, just come try Wakota Ridge. And I have never been to another church since. So my faith journey kind of started when I was a teenager, I think. Well, probably before that, I grew up in the church, but I received the gift of faith as a teenager on a retreat. And that's when I kind of came to know the Lord in my head, I would say. And then much later, when I was around 30 years old, I met Jesus. And I got to know him in my heart and in my soul. And we started a relationship. And I decided then that, and I asked him on that day, I asked him to not allow me to ever leave him. Just don't ever let me leave you. That was my prayer that day. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a one of our Lenten hymns we sing has a great line like that in it. Lord, let me never outlive my love for you. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about sight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from
sight.
There.
Sight.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a big topic.
Yeah, it's a big topic for me. I'm visually impaired, and I have inherited a genetic disease where I gradually lose my peripheral vision, and so around me is black. And if I could just, like, if tunnel vision, like I can't see my hands right here or here, so it's very limited. And it's not just, like, blurry around here. It's as if there's nothing there. And so I often will tip things over or trip, and sometimes I get hurt. or hurt someone else. And if I forget to look beyond my field of vision, that's what happens. So if I just kind of rely on what's in front of me, I miss what's right in front of, or what's right, you know, below me or right next to me. So,
In church speak, mm-hmm. we talk a lot about things like light and dark, about sight, about walking by faith and not by sight, about your word is a lamp for my feet, you know, all these kind of sight metaphors that we use all the time. And you have, with this condition that you have, that gives you sort of a different perspective. Maybe that's not even the right word to use there, on sight and light and dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to say some more about that?
That's very true. I think often about my own limited perspective, not just my physical perspective, but my perspective on life. It's so limited when I rely on my own understanding. And God tells us, you know, to trust in him and to lean not on your own understanding. And there's a reason for that. It's too limiting, and we are in trouble if we just rely on our own understanding, and we're in danger.
So light and darkness are not really just metaphors for you at all. I mean, that's a reality that you live, and you know the danger that it poses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
There was you said God calls us to trust in him, and there's a part of your life that has asked a lot of your trust. It has taxed that quite a lot. Do you want to take us there?
Sure. Yes. I do have a very solid faith, and there was a time in my life, it was shortly after I was diagnosed with my eye disease. It was right after the birth of my son. We decided we wouldn't have any more biological children, but we would adopt. And I had a very solid faith. And so I just, we decided we would do that. And it was something we were excited to do. I wanted to do something for Jesus, and I wanted to grow my family also. And I just kind of trusted that the Lord would, I knew his promises. I knew he loved me. I knew he would help me, and he would bless me, and all of that. And so, and I knew that it would be hard, and that I just felt like love would conquer all of that. It would conquer all of that. So, yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing, right? Love is a powerful
it's
force.
A powerful
God's
thing.
Love above all things.
Right.
It didn't go quite as smoothly as you hoped.
It did not. I was thinking God was going to do something really beautiful and wonderful with the adoption, and I was expecting a lot of blessing, and I was really relying on my own understanding of what blessing was. We adopted two girls from Russia, and what happened was a lot of crisis. We lived in chaos and crisis for like eight years over that. There was a lot of anger and rebellion, and it was really difficult. It was beyond difficult. I'm forgetting everything I wanted to say about this.
It's okay. I do that almost every Sunday when I preach, go ahead. It's fine.
So what happened was, our family kind of, it felt isolating because we would see the families around us, and they would say really nice things to us, like what a great thing it was that we had done and how beautiful it was, and it didn't feel that way. It was quite isolating, actually, because nobody truly knew what was happening in our home. My family, my parents and my siblings, they kind of knew, but there was a lot of heartache and chronic grief, and the worst thing was that one of my daughters rejected, she just rejected us. And so that was the hardest thing. So from my perspective, my love had been just kind of, I felt like it had been thrown away. And I started thinking about God's promises, and I didn't see them coming to fruition. I just didn't see it. So I lost trust in God. And I felt that I had been used and discarded, and this is a really hard word to say, but I felt like I had been betrayed in a way, because I felt like we had been called to do this, and it wasn't going the way I had thought it should go. So I felt really broken and ruined, and I got mad at God. And I stopped talking to him. I couldn't talk to him anymore. But I did know that I could reach out to my friends and my family to pray for us, and so they did that. They did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did some writing instead of talking to God.
I did.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that took a little while to get.
This is what God did. You know, God wasn't. You know, I had prayed that prayer. He wasn't going to let me leave him. So he was doing things, and he gave me a job where there was a friend that I met at work, and I could tell her just everything. We worked together, and I could just tell her everything that was happening in my home. And one day she said to me, really in a whisper so that I could hear her, you know, when you people whisper, you're like, what? she said, God is all. And I'm like, what? And God is all. And I'm like, yeah, I guess he is. I guess he is. but that was one thing. I just remember that clearly, her saying that. And another thing he did was he nudged me to write to him. And so I wrote some very long prayers. He returned me to, or didn't return me to, I guess I returned to listening to Christian music. I had stopped listening to that. There was a song one day I was driving, and a song came on in the radio, and I started listening to the words, and I knew I had been wrong. I knew that in that time when I was listening to those words, that God had not changed at all. And there they are. He hadn't changed. He was still the God that I had met Jesus, you know, back in when I was in my 30s. He was still the same God, and he still loved me, and he was not the one to blame for what was happening. He was not the one to blame. So I started singing along, and I don't know if you've ever praised God when you're really hurting, but it is something powerful. And so I did. I sang those words, and there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough. So I don't know how much longer, like how much later, but I was still writing my prayers, and I started reading them aloud. Then I started just reading my prayers that I had written, and they got so long and so cumbersome, I just stopped. I just stopped. And one day I said, I just said to him, I said, Lord, do you have any idea what she has done to me, what this has done to me, what my daughter has done? Do you know how this feels? Do you have any idea how this feels? Like, what I've given, the sacrifices I've made, and the heartache, the love I have for her, and my broken heart. Do you have any idea? And I got very still, and I heard, you know, I heard, yes, I do. I do know what it's like to be rejected. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be hated and misunderstood and blamed and ignored and all of the things. He knows. And he said, all of my children do that to me. We all do it. And I knew I had done it to him. So there, that is when the light shined in to my darkness, my dark perspective. It was opened, and he revealed his heart to me, the heart of a father. I could relate so much as a parent to God's heart. And it was, that was the blessing that I had misunderstood. I was going to get some other kinds of blessings. It was an amazing blessing, and is, and that I can know him like that personally. So that's...
I just want to sit here and go preach. Just come on, preach. Come on, come on. Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Wow. So powerful to hear that. Hear that word back to you. I know what that's like. Yeah. Is that one of those moments where you remember like where you were when that happened?
Oh yeah, I know where I was. Sure. Like,
yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, that's amazing.
On the floor. I was on the floor.
Yeah, there's a lot of that that happens.
Yeah. So God is just so good. He's so patient and merciful. Like, I didn't deserve that. After I treated him that way, I didn't deserve it, and we don't, and that's his mercy. And here's the thing, you know, like, I didn't know any of this going into the adoption, that it would be like that. I was expecting something completely different. But now you think about Jesus and what he knew, right? We just sang about it, and he came anyway and allowed himself. You know, that's beyond my comprehension. I don't. That makes me love him just even more.
Yeah. The nonsense of the cross, right?
The nonsense,
absolute
of the
cross. Foolishness of it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And yet, I loved how you said it. It makes us love him all the more that he would go through that and put himself in that place even worse than our darkest.
Yeah.
Moments.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much. And so.
How beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, darkness, light.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? What's the carryover effect, or what's the today effect of that for you?
I think it's easy to be overwhelmed by our own dark perspectives. There's so much around us, the news, you know, and just things that we have to face on a day-to-day basis. Not just on the news, but in our own lives. There's so much darkness. And when we look at everything from our own perspective, it's even darker. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And you say it differently. It never will.
Yeah.
It never will overcome it. And that's our hope and our strength. God nudges me. He nudges me when I forget about, you know, trusting and what he's done and who he is. He nudges me back. He brings me back, and I have to just kind of immerse myself in the Word. I do Bible study. I listen to Christian music. I pray. I worship. I'm in a small group. As much as I can, I fill myself. And allow myself to be filled and respond to his nudging. I don't ignore it.
All those places where God reveals himself to you, right? Where he keeps showing up and showing you.
Yeah, that's how
who he is.
That's how he does it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he can seem awfully hidden sometimes.
Yeah.
But he reveals himself to us in so many ways.
And he does. And I think if we yield a little bit, I mean, if everyone has some hard things, and I'm so stubborn. I used to be proud of being stubborn. I'm so stubborn, but like if I yield just a little bit, he just floods his, you know, grace. He just sheds it on us. He's amazing.
So if you were to say something to somebody else out here who might be feeling abandoned by God, let down by God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and chances are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, on some level, right? What would it be? What should we hear from you tonight?
Well, he is not abandoning you. It might feel like that. Don't trust your feelings. But the one thing I know is that he really wants you to know him. He really wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want, he's not just an idea. He wants you to walk with him. And he's here. He's waiting.
So. And thank God he's patient with us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I'm so glad he's patient.
Right. Mm. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Anything else we ought to...
I'm sure I've missed a bunch, but those are the things that I know God had put on my heart to say. So.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Julie, for sharing that. It's hard to go back to those dark places, and it's hard to sort of let that transparency, happen, but it helps... me, it helps all of us so much, again, to see God's presence and his action in our lives. Can we say thank you to Julie?
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Let's just pray again. Lord, we praise you, and we pray that you give us the strength to praise you when the storm is, when the storms hit. We pray that you give us strength to praise you in the darkness. We pray that you would give us eyes to see you, even when it feels like you are hidden and far away. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with Julie, for being patient with all of us, for speaking into that dark place, Lord. Thank you for the light that she is here in this place, at work, in her family, all the places that she is. Thank you for the way that you shine your beautiful light through her, Lord. We pray that you would continue to bless her. Keep her. Don't ever let her go. We're going to hold to that promise, Lord. Let that truth be so real to us, too, that you have us in your everlasting grip. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.